Thank you so much. Thank you for inviting me today, Pastor Sup. I want to just encourage us, as I was listening to Walt speak and thinking about, imagine if Walt had come into our church when he was Laura. How would we have responded? Knowing who Walt is today and what he's doing, we would really want to have been the second pastor who put his arm around Walt, loved him, and walked him back into truth and reality. I wouldn't want to be that first pastor, but I think very often that's one of our first responses is, I don't want to deal with this. This is out there. This is those people. This is not something I want in my life. But look what Walt is doing. He, his website, he didn't really plug himself, but his sexchangeregret.com, he has helped hundreds of men come out of the transgender identification lifestyle. He is doing just brilliant work for God, and he had to go through what he went through, but God doesn't waste anything. He uses everything for the glory of his kingdom. Amen. So I'm going to come back to that a little bit at the end of my talk, churches and how can we respond to this. And I want to apologize for my cough. I'm up here, so you're safe. I had COVID about 3 weeks ago. My husband and I were on a cruise, and fifth day of the cruise, we both tested positive for COVID. When I get a cough, it lasts forever. It's been this way my whole life. The COVID was 3 weeks ago. I'm perfectly healthy, but I'm unfortunately still coughing occasionally, so I apologize for that. I work with Advocates Protecting Children. We're a nonprofit that helps families, individuals, churches, organizations, anybody at all who needs help navigating gender ideology. How do we deal with this? And we've talked to so many parents. We get calls, emails from parents on a weekly basis. And it's always, almost always the same thing. My child just came home and said he's no longer a boy, said she's no longer a girl. And so we try to help people navigate that and put out resources for that. At the beginning, I want to make clear that homosexuality, the LGB, the lesbian, gay, bisexual, is completely different from the TQ, the transgender, queer. In media, those are always lumped together. They always say LGBTQ as if it's one thing. That's by design. The TQ has hitched its wagon to the successes of the LGB for the purpose of convincing everybody we're just the same. And if you're mean to us, you're mean to homosexuals. No matter what you think about homosexuality, right or wrong, whatever, it has absolutely nothing to do with TQ. I was at my parents' house a couple weeks ago. As Pastor Sup said, if you work in this, you get lots of hate, lots of backlash. I can deal with that, but it made me really sad to hear that my parents are getting that from some people, saying, we can't believe what your daughter is doing. She's such a homophobe. How did you raise somebody who's so hateful to homosexuals? And it's so hard to get that message across. This has nothing to do with homosexuality. And as Walt said, the men, historically, this has been almost all men. Historically, transgender, or they used to be called transsexuals, was about 0.7% of the population, so that's about 7 out of every 1,000 people, struggles with their sense of sex. Am I really the sex I was born? Historically, that's been almost entirely men, and they tended to fall into two groups. There were men like Walt, who perhaps had trauma in their history. For some reason, they really struggled with their manhood. And then there were also men who were homophobic. They had homosexual tendencies, but they didn't want to be seen as a homosexual. So they thought, you know what? I'm not a homosexual. I actually was meant to be a woman. Historically, that's pretty much all there was. It was almost always men. Somewhere I saw the year where it flipped, and it seems like it's 2012, but but I have looked that up, and I'm having trouble finding it again. But somewhere around that time, 2012, 13, 14, the demographics flipped. Now it is almost entirely young girls, tweens, teens, college age, early 20 girls. We're calling this rapid onset gender dysphoria. These are kids, not always girls, but the Tavistock Gender Clinic in the UK, which is the UK's only gender clinic, which is now being shut down, praise God, they saw a 5,000% increase in girls coming to that gender clinic over a 10-year period. 5,000% increase. If we saw that in any other psychological medical area, there would be inquiries, there would be news reports. We'd be saying, what is going on with this? But this, as Pastor Supp said, has been brought in a very cultic sort of way. Gosh, I'm only on my first slide. I think I need to move to the next slide. I want to tell you a little bit about what's happening in the culture. Schools are teaching trans ideology as fact across the curriculum, K through 12, and even earlier. In my school district, one of the things that woke me up to this was two classes of kindergartners being read the book I Am Jazz, which is a storybook geared at 4 and 5 year olds, written from the perspective of a boy who thinks he's a girl, and it's all very, isn't this exciting and glittery and unicorns and happiness? They don't talk about the reality of what that young man has gone through with his surgeries. But two classes of kindergartners were read this book. Lily Eskelson Garcia, who is the president of the National Education Association, brought Tim, also known as Sarah, Sarah McBride. This is a man who has decided he's a woman. They came in and read this to two classes of kindergartners with, they sort of told parents it was happening, but not really. Most people had no idea what was happening. I talked to one of the fathers of one of those kids. That child came home so upset, didn't even want to talk about it. I've talked to psychiatrists who have said the fear of your penis falling off is a common fear among young boys. And this kind of a story reinforces that that could happen. Oh yeah, the doctor made a mistake. You're not actually a boy, you're actually a girl. That puts fear of going to the doctor into children. Oh my gosh, what if I go to the doctor and he tells me I'm not actually what I am? What's happening to kids is absolutely unconscionable because mom and dad teach boys have a penis, girls have a vagina. Kids go to school and the teacher says, oh, that's not true. Some boys have a vagina and some girls have a penis. And have you really thought about whether you're a boy or a girl? This is happening everywhere. This is one of the pushes of the National Education Association. I talk to people all the time who say, this isn't happening in my school. And I say, yes, it is. If it's not there yet, it's on its way. And I bet it's there and you don't know it. I was at a family event with my husband's family up in Ohio probably 2 years ago now. And I was talking with my husband's cousin, Becky. We're talking about all this. And she said, oh, my kids go to this sweet little Catholic school. It's great. We don't have to worry about this kind of thing. And I said, well, watch. Look at your policies. Watch your school board. Just keep an eye on it. The very next day after this event, Becky called me. She said, Maria, we went out to lunch. It was a funeral. We went out to lunch after the funeral. Our waiter was this trans-identified guy, and he just randomly started talking about how they're going into schools in my community and getting the policies changed to accept transgender ideology. And he mentioned my kid's school. It is happening everywhere, even in the sweet little Catholic schools. Social media influencers groom children, and I'll show you a little clip from one a little bit later. Peer-led sex ed. Doesn't that sound wrong? It is. I started hearing about peer-led sex ed a while back. This is kids teaching other kids about sex and gender. This happened in my district. Some high school kids, juniors and seniors, came into a freshman gym class and did a presentation on sex and gender. And if you go to our website, advocatesprotectingchildren.org, you can see that presentation on there. When I heard about this, and I'm like, peer-led sex ed, what does that sound like to me? This reminds me of something. And I realized it's peer-to-peer sales. Have you ever been invited to somebody's house and they give you some munchies and they have some programs and then they try to sell you candles or clothing or kitchen goods. That's peer-to-peer sales. What that's doing is leveraging your relationship in order to pressure people to buy things, because you go to their house, oh, they've given me some drinks, they've given me some food, and everybody else is buying, I should probably buy. That sales strategy has been adopted in schools. The NEA puts out articles on utilizing peer-led sex ed. Because imagine when you were a freshman in high school and you went to gym class and a senior came in and told you all about sex and gender, and it contradicts what your parents told you, but are you going to stand up and say to that senior, oh, I don't really agree with this? Especially when the teacher invited that senior in and everybody else is sitting there nodding. This is just peer pressure. They're utilizing peer pressure to sell this stuff. Libraries are full of books about sex and gender. Teachers are assigning trans novels. They're in the classrooms. I pulled my kids from public school. I pulled my kids from public school 3 years ago. I'm a teacher. I've been a proponent of the public schools all along. Sent my kids to a Title I elementary school because I really believed you neighbor with your neighbors. You go to school with the people you live with. But when I started seeing this stuff, my daughter came home with a novel that she got off her teacher's classroom shelf. And it's this, I'm not going to name it, but there's a whole glut of these trans and homosexual novels. And trans is the big one now. I remember when vampires and werewolves were all the thing. You remember the Twilight series? And like, you couldn't look at a young adult bookshelf without it being vampire, werewolf, 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 vampire, werewolf. And as somebody who appreciates young adult literature, I remember saying, I can't wait till we're done with vampires and werewolves. Now we're in translit. I would love to go back to sweet little vampires and werewolves. If you go on Amazon and search up transgender literature, you'll get page after page after page after page after page of this stuff. I've read some of it. Most of it is garbage. There are some that are really well written, however. But it's all just vehicles for indoctrination. Cosmetic surgeons and drug companies are advertising directly to children via social media. There are laws about what you can advertise to kids on TV and in movies and on the radio. Social media is the Wild West. There are no laws. There are actually surgeons advertising double mastectomies to children on TikTok and Reddit. Every social media platform. Parents are being vilified as abusers. The entertainment industry is churning out this stuff. Oh my gosh. We only watch Netflix. We stopped watching TV a long time ago, so we just choose movies and documentaries and stuff on Netflix or Amazon. And every movie has got this stuff in it. My husband and I are like, okay, we started the movie. I'm thinking a minute and a half before we see it. And we're rarely surprised. And universities are now holding bias boards and pushing gender ideology across campus. I can't tell you how many parents I've spoken to who sent their child off to their freshman year of college and they came home the opposite sex. But two of my kids have gone through dual enrollment at Northern Virginia Community College. Even when they were 17 and still minors, and I'm still the authority, every time I would call to sign them up for classes, to talk to the counselor, I would have to put them on the phone for them to give permission for the college to talk to me, even when they were 17. Once they turn 18, forget it. College clinics are going to give them the hormones. They're going to push the surgeries. It's unbelievable what's happening, and I know I'm sounding like a terrible fearmonger, but I really want you to understand this is what your kids are facing. Can I have the next slide? This horrified me. Blue's Clues was my kids' favorite when they were little. I loved Blue. Blue did a special for Pride Month in June, and they had a Pride Parade, and that character there is an actual in real life drag queen. Man who performs sexually over sexualized characters of women, and this drag queen was narrating the pride show. In the parade, were families of every sort of amalgamation you can imagine, except I don't think there was a heterosexual family. I don't think there was a one man and one woman family. There were poly families with multiple partners, and there was a beaver with double mastectomy scars. Don't tell me the writers weren't laughing at women the whole time that they put a beaver with mastectomy scars in this Blue's Clues parade. Okay, next slide, please. This is not a woman. This is Monroe Bergdorf. He's one of the glitter moms grooming kids on social media. Glitter mom is a term for an adult, usually a male who's pretending to be a woman, who says, if your parents don't accept who you are, cut them off and come be with me. I'll take care of you. What Walt said during his presentation, secrets are kept because they're wrong. When adults are telling kids to keep secrets from their parents, that is wrong every single time. These guys are telling kids to contact them on social media. They're going behind parents' backs. They are cutting your kids off from you. Next slide, please. This is a YouTube influencer, queer kid member. I don't know if you can see up in the top right. Those are popsicle stick puppets. Who is this geared for? This is geared for small, small children. If your kids have access to social media, they are seeing this stuff. It's being pushed at them. I'm sure we've all had the experience of doing a search for something on social, or, you know, just a Google search, and stuff comes up that you never wanted to see. That's happening to kids with this stuff. Next slide, please. This is what I talked about. This is a gender doctor who is advertising. We made a book, Affirmed. The language has been taken captive. I'm sure I'm not telling you anything you don't know yet, but the word affirm is one of the things that has really, that word has been taken captive. Affirmation means telling someone you are a valuable person. You can do it. You have the tools that you need. You're going to be a success. That's what affirmation really means. In gender world, affirmation means telling somebody, yes, you really are inherently flawed. Yes, your body is not the sex. You are not the sex that your body says it is. Affirmation means putting someone on an immediate path to medicalization. When you hear these words, affirmation, sex assigned at birth, be thinking about what does that really mean? What are they saying here? Okay, next slide, please.
I want to talk to your children alone about sex and gender.
Very sad.
Those are real guys. Those are real guys who are out there on social media trying to get at your children. We all want to feel loved. We all want to feel important. One of the hallmarks of a cult is the cult draws recruits in and just love bombs them, because we all need to feel like we're important. You saw Jeffrey Marsh was the first guy with the white around his eyes. All of his videos, he's doing this. He's looking right at the camera. He's saying, I love you. I love you. If your parents are not affirming of you, you can cut them off and come and be with me because I love you. This is what your kids are hearing. It's a very seductive message. Next slide, please. 10 years ago, there was one gender clinic in the United States. Today, there are over 300. Each one of those pins is a gender clinic. Many of these are pediatric. I forget the coloring. I think the purple ones are pediatric gender clinics. They are transitioning children as young as 2 and 3 years old. I see this in these parenting groups online. Some of these parents can't wait to get their kids on puberty blockers. This has been a very trendy social phenomenon. Why? Because it's very lucrative. This is a $1.5 billion industry. I've seen 3 market reports saying that sex reassignment surgery alone, that's not even the hormones, not even the pharmaceutical companies, just sex reassignment surgery is expected to be a $1.5 billion industry by 2026. That's 4 years from now. They call it a growth market. How do you get a growth market? By advertising it. If it really were that people were born this way, then we would see about 0.7% of the population struggling with this. That can't be a growth market. You can't have a growth market with a fixed 0.7% of the population. The only way you get a growth market is by advertising it. Now, one of the arguments that we hear from trans rights advocates is, oh, the growth in this, the reason we're seeing so many people doing this is because finally the social stigma is being removed. Finally, people are feeling safe to come out and say, this is who I am. Okay, if that's the case, why is it predominantly young women? Why is it almost all today women in their tweens, teens, and early 20s? Why aren't we seeing women my age? I'm in my 50s. Why aren't women my age doing this? Women my age aren't very valuable in society. We're not sex symbols anymore, if we ever were. We're going down the road toward retirement. Now would be a really good time for me to be a man instead of a woman. But we don't see that. We see it in young people because it's being sold to them. And for young girls, there's a lot of reasons why this is appealing. I'm going to just take an aside really quick because I want to talk about sort of the 4 groups of people who are struggling with transgender identification. You've got the people like Walt, the traditional men who struggle with it for those 2 reasons. Either they've had some trauma or, you know, they're struggling with homosexuality. Homosexuality, which frankly often comes with its own trauma. Today we've got young girls predominantly, and there's a host of reasons why. Many of them are on the autism spectrum or are exhibiting autistic traits. There's also the effect of pornography. Anyone who's sort of in your 40s or older, the pornography is today is not the pornography that we saw growing up. It's not the Playboy centerfolds. Today's pornography has gotten brutal. There's snuff pornography where women are being killed. Regularly in today's porn, women are choked, beaten, spat upon, kicked, defecated on. And this is part of the porn. And girls are seeing this. I saw the saddest thing on social media. Somebody posted it, and I think it's true. Girls are raised on Disney princes looking for the Prince Charming. Boys are raised on brutal pornography. So boys are seeing this stuff. And a girl thinks this is what sex is. This is what it is to be in a sexual relationship. I want no part of that. And frankly, as soon as a girl starts to develop her womanly figure, she starts getting ogled. Happens to every girl. Many girls are just trying to opt out of womanhood. It does not look like a good deal, and I don't want any part of it. There are also young boys who are doing this. This is the 3rd group, and I don't have any research or statistics to back this up, but I'm guessing, I'm making an educated guess that it has a lot to do with porn. And the reason I say that is there is now a new genre of porn called hypnosissy porn. They are using hypnosis techniques. Has anybody here heard of ASMR? I think it's autonomic meridian response. There's these relaxation videos, and I've watched them sometimes when I can't sleep. Sometimes it's somebody putting makeup on your face. The sound of tapping can be very relaxing to some people. These are hypnosis techniques. The porn industry has taken these hypnosis techniques and applied it to porn, and there's actually porn trying to turn boys and men into wanting to be the submissive female in the sex relationship. They're horrific. They're disgusting. I don't want to tell you to go watch them, but it is targeting boys and men. Keep your kids off porn. I mean, I cannot stress that enough, especially your boys, because this is seeking to make them want to be transgender. And then the fourth group of people who are struggling with this are very young children, and there are some parents who are actively doing this to their kids. I think there's a number of reasons for that. One, you get a lot of social cred if you have a trans kid right now. It's a very popular, trendy thing. You get your kid flown to the White House to watch Star Wars with Obama. You get your kid a reality show like Jazz Jennings. But there's also a phenomenon called Munchausen's by proxy. Munchausen syndrome is somebody who invents medical issues for themselves so that they can get medical attention. They like being hospitalized. They like going to the doctor. It's not hypochondriac being a hypochondriac. That's actually thinking something's wrong with you, and it's not. Munchausen's is, you know nothing's wrong with you, but you're making stuff up so that you can get medical attention. Munchausen's by proxy is doing that with a child. It's rare, but it does happen. We've seen it before with moms giving their kids, you know, putting Drano in their food or feeding their child feces in order to make the child sick so they can go get medical attention. So those are kind of the four groups we're looking at. But these people are preying on all of those groups. Affirming a transgender identification is putting a child or an adult on a path to irreversible medicalization. It starts with puberty blockers. Puberty blockers are toxic. They've been given to kids who have precocious puberty, which means they start developing their sex characteristics very, very early, like 5 or 6 years old. And so doctors will give them puberty blockers to halt that, to give their psychology, to get their maturity a little bit of time to grow before they start developing their sex characteristics. It's used very carefully. It's used in a very limited scope. I think it's no longer than a year. It's got a lot of very strict protocols to it. They're using those same drugs in perfectly healthy kids. That's the first step. If the child hasn't gone through puberty yet, they'll put them on puberty blockers. Lupron is the one that's primarily used. Let me tell you the history of Lupron. It was originally given to male sex offending prisoners to chemically castrate them. It was found to have so many negative side effects, it was deemed cruel and unusual punishment and was made illegal. So they can't give it to male sex offenders anymore. Next, now why would they give it to somebody else? Because the pharmaceutical companies have a drug and they want to make money off of it. So who did they give it to next? Adult women who are suffering with endometriosis. They started giving Lupron to all these women. There is now a class action lawsuit from these endometriosis women who are given this, some of whom have migraines constantly, joint pain, demineralized bones, brain damage. Some women are in wheelchairs. After those two histories, you think they would say Lupron's not a good idea, is it? No, they didn't do that. They said, who can we give this to? Let's give it to kids. This is what they're giving to kids who say that they're trans. After Lupron, after puberty blockers, comes cross-sex hormones. A friend of mine describes this as putting the wrong kind of gas into your car, putting diesel into a car that needs unleaded or unleaded into a car that needs diesel. God made our bodies to run on the hormones that are sex-specific to us. I'm an adult human female. My body needs estrogen to run correctly. If I put testosterone, now I have a little bit of testosterone in my body, but if I put a lot of it into my body, it demineralizes my bones. it's toxic to me. Now I want to address really quickly, testosterone is it's a controlled substance because if I started taking testosterone right now, I would feel great. It would give me confidence. It would boost my sex drive. It would give me more energy. It would melt some of this fat that I can't seem to get rid of, no matter how hard I try, because I'm over 50 now. It would get rid of that for me. It would redistribute my fat. It would help me to start putting on muscle. If I took any testosterone, I would feel awesome. So when girls go on testosterone because they think maybe they're boys, they immediately feel great. And they think, this was the right choice. What they don't understand is that down the line, that drug is damaging them. The facial hair that they grow is unlikely to go away. The vocal changes, they're unlikely to go away. It comes with many irreversible changes. Likewise, with estrogen, when boys start taking estrogen, it makes you feel kind of warm and fuzzy and nice. Women are warmer, softer, fuzzier, and nicer than men generally because of estrogen. It makes us nice people. And so a man starts taking estrogen, and he's like, oh, suddenly, like, I feel more in touch with my emotions. And if you've got a boy who maybe is on the autism spectrum and already isn't really in touch with his emotions, and you give him a little estrogen, and suddenly emotions make a little more sense to him, that's going to confirm to him, I'm not really a man. I was really supposed to be a woman. But again, those cross-sex hormones are so hard on our bodies because a female body is not made to run on testosterone and a male body is not made to run on estrogen. After cross-sex hormones, then it's surgery. And these surgeries are horrific. Okay, next slide, please. We did a video, it's a half an hour video, so I couldn't bring it in and show it to you today, but it's on our website. This is the title slide from the video. This is the web of how transgender ideology has taken over. Schools are at the center. This is where they are targeting because they're trying to get kids. Why? Because if you can get a kid medicalized, they're medicalized for life. That's a $1 million customer right there. This is one of the insidious things, too, about the cross-sex hormones. I didn't appreciate this until a friend of mine explained this to me a few months ago. Once you're on the opposite sex hormone for a few months, your body stops making its own hormone. So if I went on testosterone for a few months, it's very likely my body would stop making estrogen altogether. So even if I decided, oh, I made a mistake, I'm not really a man, I want to go back to being a woman, now I've got to buy synthetic estrogen because my body stopped making it. This is insidious. This is evil. This is what is being done to kids because it's very, very profitable. Next slide, please. Kind of a shameless plug for my book. This is what's happening to parents, though. As soon as you have a child come home and say, I'm transgender, the message that that parent gets from everywhere is you have to affirm or they're going to commit suicide. The principal tells you that. The school counselor tells you that. The pediatrician tells you that. The therapist tells you that. Everybody says that. Now, there is no data or research that backs that up. They say there is, but when you start reading these so-called research studies and look at the research methodology, they're horrible. They're junk. Most of them are surveys. GLSEN, the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, puts out model school district policies for here's what we want in the policies at school for transgender kids. Has three citations. Two of those originated with GLSEN, so that's like when the tobacco companies in the 60s said, let's do a study to find out if nicotine's addictive. It's not, because they hired the researchers and said, we want you to find out that nicotine's not addictive. And we know now that that's not true. That's exactly what's happening here. Two of the three originated with GLSEN, one of those and one other, were simply surveys. Surveys are not research data. You can get data from surveys, but surveys have so many problems associated with them. First of all, it's self-report. And one of the things they'll ask in those surveys is, have you ever thought about harming yourself? Well, who here hasn't? We've all had times where life was hard, and maybe we had that thought, maybe it would just be better if I weren't here. And so you ask a kid that who's already struggling, and they'll say, yeah, I have thought about it. And so what gets reported on that survey research? Oh, 99.9% of trans kids have thought about committing suicide. And it's because people didn't affirm them. They load all these assumptions in. So when you hear that there's all this data and you start looking at it, you see there is no data. And as Walt mentioned, in Sweden, Sweden's like 30 years ahead of us on this stuff. They've been doing this for 30 years. They did a 30-year longitudinal study on people who've had sex reassignment surgery. All of them, because they have centralized healthcare there, and so they don't lose anybody. Here in the United States, we have privatized healthcare. It's very hard to get data. A lot of these studies, the loss to follow-up, which means people who they were watching at the beginning of the study but lost track of by the end of the study, is like 40 and 50%. That's horrible. You can't make any predictions with that big of a loss to follow-up. But they don't have that in Sweden. They're tracking all of them. And as Walt said, people who had completed sex reassignment surgery were 19 times more likely than the general population to commit suicide. So it is not true that kids are going to commit suicide if you don't affirm their transition. That is a tool of abuse. It's emotional manipulation. Next slide, please. I want to talk really quickly, and I don't want to burn up all my time, but I want to talk about keeping your kids safe. And I was asked about a year ago to give a talk, and they wanted me to talk about how to keep your kids safe if they haven't adopted a trans identity and what to do if they have. And as I was working on that, I thought, it's the same thing. It's really the same thing. Whether your kids are still healthy and safe or if they've adopted a trans identity, what you need to do is sort out what happened or what's happening. What's going on in that child's life? Where are they getting messages that something's wrong with them and that they need to change sexes? 2, cut off unhealthy influences and establish healthy influences. Where am I getting this stuff from? I'm getting this stuff from deprogramming cult members. I did a lot of looking into Stephen Hassan's work. He's a big getting people out of cults guru. And a lot of this is coming from that area of how do you get people out of a cult. You need to cut off the cult influences and surround that person with truth and with people who are going to speak truth to them. 3, strengthen your relationship with your child. You remember how I said the gender influencers, the Jeffrey Marshes, are telling your child, I love you, I love you. They need to be hearing that from you. They need to be hearing that they are loved and cared for and safe at home. We need to make our kids feel that home is the safest place they can be, because the message they're getting from school and from social media and from outside is that if parents don't let you do everything you want to do, they're abusive. Take that out to its logical conclusion. Mom, I want to start shooting heroin. No, you're abusive, Mom. I said, I want heroin. No, good parents put boundaries around their kids. Kids push back against boundaries. That's normal. But we need to more than ever let our kids know that we're setting those boundaries because we love and care about them. And then 4, engage your child's critical thinking abilities. That is something that we have largely lost. I realized that I didn't learn critical thinking skills coming up through public school in the 70s and 80s. It wasn't until I married my husband, who considers debate and argument a fun thing to do in the evening just for kicks. And I grew up alone without near-age siblings, so I was really hobbled in the ability to do battle. But at a certain point in our marriage, I said, if he wants a fight, I'm going to give it to him. So I went and got, I think I actually got debate for dummies or critical thinking for dummies, something like that. And I learned how to think critically about things. And I realized I never learned that in school. And our kids aren't learning that in school. Oh, and by the way, a couple years ago, we were having one of our discussions, and my husband said, this was a lot more fun before you learned how to fight. Okay, next slide, please. So I want to go through these really quickly. Where is your child being influenced? And I want to stress that they're being influenced at public school and possibly private school. They're being influenced on social media. They're being influenced in their friend groups. What weaknesses might make the child susceptible to influence? And I mentioned autism earlier. There is a panoply of things that can make a child susceptible to this. Depression, prior trauma, being bullied at school, not being socially popular, having sensory integration issues, where your clothes don't feel like, you know, they're uncomfortable. Every one of those things, the transgender rights people will come in and say, oh, you feel that way because you're transgender. Oh, you don't fit in socially because you're not actually a girl. You need to be a boy and then you'll fit in socially. I saw a slide from a presentation given by a so-called doctor who does gender transition, had headaches on there as a possible indicator that you're trans. Oh, you're having lots of headaches. That means you're trans. Next slide, please. Do everything you can to sever relationships with antagonists, the people who are trying to convince your kids to be transitioned. Sever as many of those relationships as possible and create a protective wall of protagonists. We pulled our kids from public school 3 years ago. Homeschool has not been awesome for my youngest. It's gone well for my two older ones. My youngest one is an extrovert, and between homeschool and COVID, she's had a hard time. So she asked me, Mom, can I please go back to public school? I need to be in school. And I said, honey, if I send you to public school, you either have to agree with all of the sex and gender stuff, because you're going to be asked your pronouns in every class. When somebody comes in and, you know, Barbara is now Robert and is taking hormones, you're going to have to applaud that. When your teacher says that Joan of Arc was actually transgender, you're going to have to go, wow, that's cool. You're either going to have to accept all that stuff, lie about accepting it, and say you do when you don't, or you're going to have to be an activist, and you're going to have to be fighting every single day. Those are the options if you're in public school. And she said, I don't want to be an activist. And I said, I don't want you to lie. So we're sending her to a private school. She got into Emmanuel Christian High School. And during the interview process for that, you better believe I was raking them over the coals. What is your position on transgender identified students? How do you handle it if a student says, I'm transgender? What is your relationship to parents? And I was pleased with their answers, but these are the things we need to be asking. Okay, next slide, please. You know what? I'm going to skip through this one just for the sake of time. There are ways to sever your child from an unhealthy influence in an authoritarian way, in a way that's less authoritarian, in a way that you kind of help them make the decision on their own. I really want to talk about this one. I think this is important for every single one of us, for every single one of our relationships. And I have a handout that's out on the table that you can grab. It's 11 crucial relationship skills. We need to be improving our relationships. None of us have perfect relationships with anybody, with our spouse, our friend, our kids. And the way the culture is going right now, you as parents are really vilified. You're guilty until proven innocent, and innocent means agreeing with all the sex and gender stuff. You've got to really work on your relationship with your child, improve your communication skills, spend time together. And if your child's trans-identified, this is even more important, but one of the things I want to say that's kind of counterintuitive, spend time together not talking about the trans stuff. When we see parents who are going through this, all parents want a silver bullet. I want that thing that's going to fix this now. How do I get my child back now? And unfortunately, it's a long, slow, painful process. But one of the things that we see successful parents doing is spending time with their kids, distracting them from the trans stuff. Take a cooking class if your child likes to cook. Go camping. Go fishing. Go to a concert. Do things that entertain and engage the child and distract them from the trans stuff, because the trans stuff is this bubble that they're in, and they need to see that there's life outside of it. Am I doing okay on time? I got 5 minutes. I gotta go faster. Okay. Skip through that one. Those are all on that slide, on the handout. Critical thinking skills. Engage your kids' critical thinking skills so that they can stand up against the culture. Next slide, please. We need to understand the difference between feelings and reasoning. Just because I feel something doesn't make it true. When I am in traffic and somebody cuts me off, I really feel like I want to slam into the back of their car. Is that a feeling that I should follow through on? No. Feelings are not the same thing as reasoning, as logic. You always want to validate people's feelings. Maria, I can see you're really upset right now and you'd like to slam into the back of that car. I get it. If you do that, we are going to have a problem with insurance and the police. That's the difference between validating feelings but not validating my faulty reasoning. And ask your kids questions. Just ask questions. So if gender is on a continuum, what does it mean to be cisgender or to not be transgender? If it's on a continuum, isn't everybody transgender? How can you not? Oh, so you're only a woman if you're a perfect Barbie doll and you're only a man if you're a perfect G.I. Joe. What does that mean to be a perfect G.I. Joe? Ask questions. Okay, next slide, please. This one's a little shocking. Might seem like the nuclear option to have to pull your kids from public school. I want to say the parents that I know who have gotten their kids back from this have by and large done three things. They've pulled them from public school, they've taken away their smartphones and devices, and they've gotten them off social media. I advise that for everybody. And it breaks my heart to say that, especially about public school. Again, I trained as a teacher. I've been a public school proponent all my life. I've always said you don't self-segregate. I was frankly kind of snobby about homeschooling. Like, homeschoolers just don't want their children to understand the world. And then when I started seeing what was happening, I called all my homeschooling friends and I'm like, you were right. Please teach me how to do this. It's sad. It's heartbreaking. But public schools are not just enforcing pronouns. They're teaching this stuff. It is in every class. It is in the water. It is in the air. It is in the food. Your kids cannot escape this if they're in public school. If there is any possible way to get them out, get them out. And smartphones. No child should have a smartphone. I'm not sure any adult should have a smartphone, to be really honest. And social media, I hate being on social media. If I weren't doing activism, I would cut off all my social media accounts. It's toxic. It's unregulated. If you can't get your child out of public school, take away their smartphone, take away their social media. And I know I'm running out of time, but I really want to hit this. You are the parent. I hear this so often from parents. Oh, I can't take away their smartphone. They'll get so upset. Oh, they threaten suicide. And I don't want to minimize suicide, but it is being used as a manipulation tool. You are the parent. You are paying for that smartphone. If they're under 18, they're living in your house. You're paying for their food. We've told our kids that bedroom, that's not your bedroom. We let you live there. We let you stay there. That food that's on your plate, Dad paid for that. Mom made that. That's not your food. We're letting you eat it. Parents, we need to parent again. Okay, next slide. I want to real quickly just talk about churches, and then I'll finish up and turn it back over. What's happening in our churches? How should Christians respond? I think the next slide is a video, and we're just going to skip it because we don't have time. This is a pastor. It was a 5-minute talk about how this stuff has gotten into the churches and why. And I'll just sum it up by saying, it is being intentionally infiltrated into the church. There are workshops that these folks have on how to infiltrate the church. And I just talked to somebody at a church I know. The new youth director at this church is a young woman who came in, ingratiated herself to all the church leadership, and suddenly became the youth director. She's concurrently writing social emotional learning and comprehensive sex ed curriculum. And not letting the church leadership know that. And the church leadership is so taken with her, they don't want to see that. She's great. She's in the process of turning the youth group into a trans cult. Next slide, please. The thing we want to do, I think, and I am not a pastor and I'm not a theologian, but when it comes to dealing with this issue or any issue in our church, I think we want to do what Jesus did. Who are we talking to? We've got to figure that out first. A Walt Heyer dressed as Laura Jensen is very different from a trans activist or from that youth director who's coming in and trying to change your church's theology. We want to minister to the Walt Heyers. We want to be wise about the infiltrating youth directors. Jesus spoke very differently to the Sadducees and Pharisees than he did to the broken people who came to him needing healing. Now, when was it Nicodemus who came in the middle of the night to talk to Jesus? Jesus talked to him. But when the Pharisees and Sadducees came, he didn't offer up his pearls before swine. He knew what they were. What is this person's story? Get to know people. Almost everybody, I would say, who is dealing with sexual brokenness, whether it's, you know, sexuality or gender, has something that is broken. We all have something that's broken. Every single one of us is broken. Churches are places for broken people. And you're not going to know what that is until you get to know them and know their story. Find out what this person needs. Not just what they say they need, but what they really need. And what we all really need is Jesus. And apply truth with love. So I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Sepp, who's going to clean up after me, because I'm not a theologian and I could be way wrong on all that.